Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon.
Good to have you back.
Morning, Scott. Good to be here. Pleasure to be here.
It's always interesting when you have a pre-recorded hello, like coming from me, and then I'm never comfortable with starting as though I've already started. Jason, good morning, and welcome to the production end of the show and the commentary end and the multitask that you perform behind the wire there.
Oh, thank you very much, Scott. Good morning and happy birthday to you, Lloyd. It's great to have you back on the show.
Thank you very much, Jason. It's good to be here.
You're very welcome. Your birthday episode.
The birthday episode. Thank you for reminding me, Jay. You're right on top of things here. Just looking at a sharing that will spend a little bit of time, not too much time today, because we want to talk about where Lloyd's been for the last year and what he's come through, and as well as, you know, of course, going through all these steps. He's had his own challenges, I'm sure, but he's coming through it strong. And as he told me on the way up here, you know, you can't give it 70, 80, 65, 95. You got to go in at 100. And if you go in at 100, you'll probably make it. Otherwise, it's a no-go. So we'll get him to comment on that later. But it's called Raindrops of Truth, today's reading in the Life Recovery Devotional, which I use, I was going to say religiously. I will say religiously, because although I don't really like religion, I like the word religiously, because it sounds like I'm really going to take it serious, and I do. A couple of things I've underlined here that stuck out this morning, and one says, we noticed that some of the hunger that used to drive us began to subside. We realized more of our human dignity. And, you know, I think that's been true in my life, not so much that I'm, you know, an addict or alcoholic, but, you know, I had some behaviors that were very unlikable in my own mind, at least. And when I felt them losing their grip, which happened after using these 12 steps for some time, and of course being in line with my faith and what I believe in. So anyway, that really stuck out, you know, regaining some sense of dignity, and not only seeing it in others, but seeing some in myself. And that's something that we may get into here a little more today. The last part of the sharing, or the caption at the bottom, actually says, our recovery stories can soak into the lives of others like rain into parched ground. And I'm going to kind of set it off with that. You know, our recovery stories can soak into the lives of others. And this step is really about sharing our lives, isn't it, Lloyd? I mean, sharing where we've been in the last year, where we've been forever, how we're sort of coming out of it, and getting stronger and stronger. As you look, and you've been to some 12-step meetings, I think, recently too, so you have a little bit of a handle at least on what this step means, even though you really only worked this for a year, haven't you, this tech program?
Yeah, just recently I've worked at the 12 steps.
Yeah, and you're on the final one, which is basically sharing the program, and, you know, if we've had a spiritual movement during the year, it's a good time to talk a little bit about that and how the spiritual aspect of the program makes a difference in your life. As you've come through this year, though, we'll take that spiritual aspect. We mentioned it on the way up in the car. Do you have any sort of stronger sense of your faith, your journey, as a result of working the 12 steps throughout this last year?
Yes, I've been stronger in spiritually, and I don't know if it's just the conviction, mm-hmm. and of what's been going on, why I've had that, but it's hard to explain. Yeah. It's sometime. What that is,
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, God getting into life, what does that look like? It's different for everybody, you know. But I know, I've heard you say a few times, what's amazing how, you know, God kind of sets this up or sets that up or makes this work, you know.
Yeah, sometimes it's unexplainable. It's just things that, something that just happens. Like, you know, the 12 stuff that we're talking about there, the spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like I was saying to you about being in a position where I just upped and just left and seek recovery.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you had an interesting story this morning. You were talking about going back to some place that you'd experienced earlier in your life, we'll say, and it was a detox center or, you know, and just being able to, you always give the, use the words giving back, you know, and here you go where you were a customer and now you're someone with not authority but a sense of cleanliness and bringing a new person who even looks different to other people, you know, when you come into their realm. So that's kind of, you know, a nice position.
I find that pleasing to go back to actually somewhere where I was a client and, you know, give back to the new people. You know, like I was there yesterday at a detox place, and you know, I was telling the guys that, like you say, like you can't be, when you seek recovery, you can't be looking at a 80%, 90%, 95% recovery rate. You have to you be all in. You got to be 100% all in it, or it's not going to work.
Exactly. That's a good point, too, because nobody has quite stressed it to me that strongly, but that's the whole deal. It's a real all-or-nothing thing, you know, and, you know, we're always told, yeah, well, it's extreme and so on. Well, you know, we get involved in these habits, behaviors, problems, addictions pretty extremely, so to get out of it, we've got to be...
Yeah, as for myself, I think that was my main issue. Because, you know, when I was seeking recovery, I thought I was all in, but, you know, I wasn't really all in, because if I was all in, then there wouldn't be any doubts. And, you know, once there's doubts, that means that, you know, you're opening up a window to fall back on, and that's not 100%. For recovery to work, I think you have to be in it 100%, totally.
I think, too, when you said you mentioned doubts, and doubts are something that I think crosses minds, you know, no matter how strong we are, and how you handle them at the time, too. It's like, you don't accept them, right? I mean, you just don't accept that there's doubt in your recovery because you know where you're going, and, you know, doubt's unacceptable, in a sense, right? For you. So you plow on through any sense of something like that as though it had no power over you.
Yeah, and something that happened too, like that happened too when I was at another recovery house, the last one I was at, and the teacher was, the counselor was asking us, like, if something happened, what would you fall back onto? And I was trying to tell her that I don't want anything to fall back onto. I just want to look straight ahead, and she thought that was weird. You know,
well, I know, no safety nets.
Yeah, but I just thought if I opened up a window of doubt, even 2-5%, that, you know, that means I wasn't all in it.
Yeah. And no, I like that. It is different though, because everybody's always worried about like an alternative.
Yeah.
You know what, a plan B, and you would say, well, I don't want a plan B because if I have a plan B, then I can screw up plan A.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, let me have a quick brew here. All right, December the 11th is my friend here's birthday, which is today. We talked of a cleanliness or a clean and sober birthday, being December 7th, I think, which was only 4 or 5 days ago. And that was probably more meaningful this year than this birthday, right?
Yes, I've been going through some birthdays this week. December 7th was my clean date birthday, and December 8th was my son Robert's birthday, and December 10th, so it was my daughter Victoria's birthday, and today is my birthday, and it's just a couple of birthdays this week.
Well, you're a year older, as you said. I mean, even since I've met you, you look better.
Thank you.
I don't mean that you look bad when I first met you, but you look healthier and stronger, and you know, and you're growing in that. And people who saw you a year ago obviously see a dramatic change. You know,
I mean, yeah, they do. Yeah,
you're not the same guy. You're clear-eyed and everything else. And I don't know what you looked like a year ago, but I know what you looked like 6 months ago. So I mean, you know, you're flying high, man. You're looking good. And it's nice to have someone, you know, on who's really carrying the message and taking it back to the areas too, not necessarily where you're living, but where you suffered, you know. And it's nice to go back and, as someone who's regained something, and stand before your peers, you know, before the people who are in the midst of suffering, because hope is a great thing, but the best way to describe it is with evidence. It's with somebody who's lived it for that year, and here he is, and he's okay, and he's doing well, and he's coming back to, you know, pull a hand up to you guys.
Yeah, it's hard to go back to the recovery house and the detox that I was in and dissect myself, mm-hmm. You know, in front of everybody. But, you know, I find that it gives hope,
yeah,
to the newcomers that are in there. And, you know, I wish I could go into the jails with you, and
you will.
But well, for now, it's just going back to all the places I've been to, and to share my story. And there's a lot of people that come up to me and thank me afterwards, because they can relate their timeline into what I'm saying. And I just hope that it can reach, you know, a few people.
And you've got a powerful story, you know, the way your story began. And, you know, I was going to quip and kind of make a joke when I was going to say something along the line of, well, when we really figure out who you are, we'll be able to, you know, because Lloyd was somewhat abandoned when he was a very young guy, and then brought to Canada from Jamaica at 8 or 9, or I eight, believe.
Nine,
you know,
yeah.
9 years old. And you know, and sort of offered to by his mom to live a new life and so on and so forth, which is all fine and dandy. But now when he goes back to search out his roots for paperwork and so on, so he can come into the jails with us, and he wants to so bad, and he's held back by this, and that's a strange thing in the system, that, you know, allows somebody who came here, worked, and is a strong Canadian citizen, and, you know, worked, did the full duty, the full 35 or whatever it was, and retired, and, you know, and you want to get paperwork, and you can't get it. You know what I mean? Like, there's something wrong with the whole system, globally, locally, internationally, you know, and so on. And that's sad, you know?
Yeah, it's frustrating right now, but that's, you know, that's really on me, because, you know, when I was using, I was very careless with my paperwork, and, you know, I rented a storage area and put all my stuff in it and forgot that it was there, and I lost it all, and now I'm trying to get it all back, and, you know, for a meaningful purpose of going into institutions and jails and giving back, and it's a setback right now.
Yeah, it is. We want you in there too. So yeah. And we're all interested in. Well, as Jennifer said, back in Kingston, I guess, is that where they keep the archives for the main paperwork for you guys, born in Jamaica?
Or? Well, I'm not even too sure, but I thought it was in Montego Bay, but they looked there and they couldn't find nothing. And I think the search is in Kingston now.
Okay.
To find my birth papers, so that'll be good start. We find that.
Yeah,
but I'm just dying to come on the on board and share my story within the penal system and
inside, yeah.
And so hope somebody can you know, benefit from hearing my
they
story.
They will. There's a lot of people I've met, a lot of people I know I'll take to you. So we'll get you in there. Just a matter of time. Anyway. We know we're all living this life of recovery anyway, meanwhile, so It's not like we're dying on the vine while we wait to do something. So especially you, you're so active. We had a think tank recently, a couple of board members, myself, and we wanted to come up with a meaningful mission statement. And it's interesting now that we're on the last step of these 12 that we run through every year, but which is really all about sharing the step, you know, and sharing the program rather than, we're sharing the burden and there aren't too many unburdened people in this world, and the ones who think they're unburdened are really sick. And that's, I shouldn't say that across the board because it's in degrees, but something along these lines, we're saying now that, you know, this is what we want it to look like, that we're sharing vulnerably with the imprisoned both inside and outside of jail, providing hope for spiritual recovery one day at a time. You know, and that's kind of what we want to do, like everywhere and so on. So it's generic in the sense, but we realize that hope resides in a life of recovery. A life of recovery not necessarily being recovering from an addiction or a compulsion or behavior or another kind of sickness, but rather recovery from where we're at on this globe, if you want. I mean, there is just so much things that we have to recover from. I mean, if you watch a full newscast, you need to recover after today. You know, I mean, there's so much negative things going on and so many problems, and everybody has a story. Everybody's been hurt and everybody's been lifted and so on. All of this sharing has to come together in a meaningful way. And until people like you and me go out and, as you said, dissect our lives in front of people, you know, there's going to be things that can save lives that aren't going to get told. And we need to get them told. And that's what this vulnerable sharing is all about, you know. And providing hope, really, by loving these guys and gals who we have no part of, really, in their lives yet. We'll go in and we're able to just be whoever we are and honestly, vulnerably, and share with them, knowing that some kind of magic happens and then they start doing the same thing. And when you see happiness in the midst of jails, it's a good sense that we're doing something right. So anyway, try and digest that a little bit, Lloyd. You too, Jay, if you want. But the vulnerability that we can share is probably, our greatest strength. So we're going to take a break now, and we're going to let Jay determine whether we need to pay bills, sing songs, or whatever, and we'll be back on 102.9 in, what, a minute or so, Jay?
I got a song here for the birthday boy in the house, Lloyd, and here's a song from Canada's own Arrogant Worms, the Happy Birthday Song. This one going out to you, Lloyd, and we'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.
Once a year we celebrate with stupid hats and plastic plates the fact that you were able to make another trip around the sun. And the whole clan gathers round in gifts and laughter do abound when we let out a joyful sound and sing that stupid song.
Happy birthday!
Now you're 1 year older.
Happy birthday!
Your life still isn't over.
Happy birthday!
You did not accomplish much, but you didn't die this year. I guess that's good enough.
So let's drink to your fading health and hope you don't remind yourself your chance of finding fame and wealth decrease with every year. Does it feel like you're doing laps and eating food and taking naps and hoping that someday perhaps your life will hold some cheer?
Happy birthday!
What have you done that matters?
Happy birthday!
You're starting to get fatter.
Happy birthday!
It's downhill from now on. Try not to remind yourself your best years are all gone.
If cryogenics were all free, then you could live like Walt Disney and live for all eternity inside a block of ice. But instead your time is set, this is the only life you get. And though it hasn't ended yet, sometimes you wish it might.
Happy birthday!
You wish you had more money.
Happy birthday!
Your life's so sad, it's funny.
Happy birthday!
How much more can you take? But your friends are hungry, so just cut the stupid cake.
Happy birthday! Happy birthday! Happy birthday, dear
Ralph. Phil, Crampton, Stanley,
Zipper,
Frank,
Skippy, the Dickie,
Bob.
Starts with the weather is nice, you know.